And love. It is 1:08 p.m. Central Standard Time. Today is May. Ooh, I done moved up 2 months, y'all. It is March 21st, 2024. And I am coming on here to discuss what I have learned today so far. So for the past 2 weeks, let me rewind. I am Raytashi the Raven of the Traveling Box LLC, and this is not Reader's Corner, not Divine Channeled Messages for the collective. This isn't anything. This is just me coming on and sharing so far, because like I said, for the past 2 weeks, I've been saying I'm going to come on here and do an episode with a guest, and he was definitely prepared. The guest is a man, yes, and he was definitely prepared to come on last week, and but then end up getting busy before I could get back to him. And so, and then I just didn't ask about it today, because it's going to happen exactly when it's supposed to happen, because we definitely spoke yesterday, okay? So, I came into a scripture, and I have been healing for the past year. Actively, I've been focused on healing my wounds, my trauma, dealing with gospel music, dealing with church, on Christianity, and dealing with religion. Like I said, Christianity, dealing with the actual aspect of going to a church, being in a church, the mentality of Christians, really saying certain things, and actually reading the Bible. You know, I would say certain scriptures. The word has always been in me, and I was raised in the church, and as a Christian, that's what my family believes in. You know, lineage wise. And so I learned a lot that I know from going to church. And it wasn't the people in the church that taught me, but it was just from observation, building bonds and relationships and connections with nature, and with the elements. Because one of the birds just came on this tree that's in front of my sister's window. And so, because I am at my twin's house, and I've been here, going on 2 weeks. I've been saying I'm gonna go home for a while, but then they end up, I end up keeping my nieces for them on this past Sunday that came, so I just didn't end up going home, because today is Thursday now, because I've been saying that since Tuesday, Wednesday. So yeah, but actually I've been saying it since a week ago, you know, because I was only supposed to be there for 2 days, and then it ended up turning into a week. Yeah, and then there was no point in going home by the time Friday came, you know. So yeah, but I love it here, and they love me. And so but the point that I'm making is that I came across this scripture, came to mind, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 15. I went and looked it up, and I kind of sat with it for a second, but I didn't translate it. I didn't come into what it meant to me, or what it possibly could be talking about. I just went based on what was given. And I shared it with a close friend of mine, because they are versed in scripture. They study. They want to go into ministry if they haven't already. And so they have Bible studies with themselves. They actively read and study the Bible, even if they don't consider themselves to be a Christian. They are very disciplined in their craft. And in actuality, he does consider himself a Christian, but he has knowledge in spirituality, certain knowledge in spirituality. And so, yeah, in certain subjects. But the point is that I trust his opinion and his judgment when it comes to his relationship with God. So I did come to him with a verse, and I came to my spiritual sister Rev, Mama Divine. You know, she was on episode one of my return, and I talked to her today. We were on the phone, and I went over Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I was getting ready to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I felt, go back to chapter 1, and really, really make sure that you fully understand, because I was interpreting chapter 2 to with Rev, and to Rev, what I was taking from as I read each verse, you know, when we were on the phone this rising. And it dawned on me that I didn't do that in-depth interpretation and translation when I was reading chapter 1 for all of the for every single verse. It was certain verses that I was a little confused on what it was trying to say overall. You know, I got the overall message of the chapter, but I didn't get what each verse, each line was saying. Because my first read, it felt like it was random things being put in place. But once I started actually dissecting each verse in chapter 1 to see the big picture of it, it made sense, you guys. It made so much sense of what was being said, which I had already came to the conclusion from reading chapter 2, chapter 3, and then coming back to chapter 1. So, because I know I just said I started reading, I was getting ready to read chapter Ecclesiastes chapter 3, but I honestly believe I did start reading it so no I didn't read chapter 3. I just went to it to make sure, to double check. So I didn't read it. I was getting ready to begin reading, and then I said, let's go back, because Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 15 is what came to mind to me yesterday. So let's make sure that we have a full understanding of the verses surrounding it and that verse of what it means. So I'm going to now read King James Version, because originally when I was researching it, what that verse, chapter and verse is and says, the online link was the New International Version. I was like, which one was it? The New International Version was what I was reading. And they were calling them the teacher. And they were wording it in modern terms, which makes sense, you know, because it's the New International Version. But I didn't want that version. I wanted the King James Version or the Old Testament Version, which would be Hebrew. Okay. Excuse me. And so that's why I went to the King James Version. I said, let me see what this is saying, how it's worded. And here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. That stood out to me, okay? The preacher is the son of David, and David is the king in Jerusalem. Verses 2. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Now let's go back some before we continue going. So like I said, that was Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading these verses, okay, on the phone with Rev, and I'm going through, and I get down to verse 12. And this is the second go over, okay? But I get down to verse 12, and it dawns on me that the preacher once was in Jerusalem, okay? And I said, okay, who's writing this? Because this isn't David, but it is David's son. So which son is this? And so because of verse 12, I researched, I went on Google, and I said, who is the king of Israel in Jerusalem, son of David? And this is Solomon speaking. This is Solomon talking about what he's come to understand based on his experience, wisdom, and him using the wisdom and his experience to navigate the world, him imploring or employing the mentality of vexation of spirit, because that's something that is said later on down, which I did the research for that. I said, okay, certain words, you have to understand meaning of words. That is very important when it comes to comprehending what is being said. I have begun to take the different pieces that are coming together and really go in depth on my research of it. So starting yesterday, I said, now it's time for me to start going in and decoding the Bible, because that's something that I want to learn and I want to know based on my own belief system and my journeys in life and tying it together. And so these first four verses is really questioning how we come to conclusions based on our own experience. Because again, verse 3 says, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? So he is working endlessly day in and day out, outside or under the sun. He's actively working. He's saying, what is he getting from this when he is laboring all day under the sun? One generation passed away. So it's basically talking about overworking and you not being able to benefit from all the work that you put in. Okay. You did the work, but you don't seek any benefit from it. What good is that? Okay. Then it talks about how when one generation passed away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. So it's saying nothing changes on the earth. Whether it's you or your great grandparents, everything when it comes to the physical will always be what it is. Okay? Now this is his words. Nothing new under the sun. The sun also ariseth and the sun goeth down and hasteth to his place where he arose. Rev helped me because she reminded me of the definition of haste. Okay? Haste, because that one had me stumped, y'all. It had me stumped for a little while because I was under the assumption I couldn't recall the definition of haste, which when I said hasted, it made me think of stuck and fixated in a place where he lives. He's stuck at home. You're fixated and not changing or moving from where you were born. But that's not what it's talking about. It's saying the sun also arises, saying the sun rises and the sun sets. The sun goes down. But by the time the sun goes down, he quickly, because that's haste is to move quickly, you know. So he quickly makes sure he gets home. Okay. He rushes home because it says hasteth to his place where he arose. So to arose means when you wake up. All right. So it's saying he's going back quickly to where he came from. All right. It says the wind goeth, verse 6, the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. So I know this is just talking about how in his journeying home, and the wind continuously was blowing strongly, causing him to be able to see the direction that the wind was flowing in, and it was swirling continuously, almost like a tornado. But I don't think that that's what they were meaning by it, unless they were. So for the simple fact that verse 7 is talking about the waters, it says all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come. Your mommy's not back here. Your mommy is back. She's back there. Go here, babe. Go get her. It says, verse 7, all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, until the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Okay? And so I know this is just talking about how the rivers run into the sea. They meet the sea. They meet the ocean. And the water flows back towards where it came from. Okay? To return to its starting point where the river began. All right? So that's the saying. Then verse 8 goes into speaking on, because cycles, that's what comes to mind for that one. There is a path that constantly is paved, the river, okay, running into the sea. That is continuous, and nothing can change that flow and that flow of return, okay? Nothing and no one can stop a river from going into the sea and then the sea returning into the river. All right, or not, it's not actually the sea, but the water from the river returning back from the sea into the river. Okay, but verse 8 goes into saying, all things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And before I had a little, you know, with this one too, but as I was reading it over it again with Rev, it dawned on me. It said, nor the ear filled with hearing. That means you are not listening. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. That means you are not appreciative. You are complaining about what is in front of you. You are not coming from a place of appreciation and gratitude. But you have to know that all things come with effort and work that has to be done in order for you to receive it. That's why it says man cannot utter it. Saying you're not supposed to speak on what you're not supposed to complain. You're not supposed to be in a place of unappreciation. Okay? And dissatisfaction. Verse 9 then goes into saying, the thing that hath been is that which shall be. So it's saying, what is will always be. You know, and nothing happens for a reason. I mean, everything happens for a reason. That's what this is speaking on. The thing that hath been. So, you know, that's the past. So the thing that already happened is supposed to happen. Everything happened for a reason. It is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. It's all, everything will always happen the way it's supposed to happen. And you're always in the place you're supposed to be in. And lastly, verse 9 says, and there is no new thing under the sun. So it's reiterating that nothing new is going on. It's pointing it out because it was telling us that through all those other verses. Okay, but now it's putting it in our face that there is no new thing under the sun. Going into verse 10, it speaks on they're asking you, they want to know, is there anything whereof it may be said? Okay, so that can be a little confusing when you first hear it, but you got to really pay attention and listen. And really, really go back into yourself and say, is there anything whereof it may be said? Say, can you find a place where it was said at any time? This is new. So verse 10 is there anything whereof it may be said? See, this is new. It has been already of old time, which was before us. Okay, so this is the answer to that question. No, you won't ever hear that until now, 2024, until this new age of energy and wave that we're in. You would not have ever heard that there is something new under the sun. Okay, or something has not been done before. So now we go into verse 11 that speaks on there is no remembrance of former things. Because most times we're not remembering. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. So it's saying no matter what generation, we are always forgetting. rather than remembering. And if we choose to remember, then we shall always know. Okay? There won't be anything that we are not capable of accomplishing. Verse 12 goes in, I, the preacher, which I spoke on earlier, this is the verse that made me really understand that this is Solomon speaking. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I said, oh, the preacher is the king of Israel. And I went and did that research like I stated before. Going into verse 13, because he's just letting it be known that this is who I am. This is why I have the wisdom that I hold. And this is why I can speak from the place that I speak from. Because I house this knowledge and this wisdom from my own experiences. So verse 13 says, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom. He's saying he chose. Okay, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom, which means this is from experience concerning all things that are done under heaven. So he wants to be right with God, but he wants to fully understand the how and why. It then goes on to say this sore travail. So we had to look up the word travail. Okay. There's certain words we gotta research and know the definition of so that we can have full understanding of what's being said. Okay. So before we go to travail, we have already spoke on vanity. So let's give that definition. It is inflated pride in oneself or one's appearance, conceit. Something that is vain, empty, or valueless. Okay, that's one definition. But let's go to another one that has a little bit more. It'll be a little bit more aligned with what we're talking about. Okay, so it's the excessive belief in one's own abilities or attractiveness to others. Okay, all right, so that's vanity. But what's travail? Like we just said, travail. It is the painful or laborious effort, or it is to engage in painful or laborious effort. Okay, so let's go back to Solomon, okay, verse 13, and saying, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Okay, now, like I said before, he said I gave my heart, which means he chose it. This was his intention. Okay, he had the desire in his heart to seek and search out the wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. Okay, this sore travail. So remember, this is a sore, painful and laborious effort that God has given to the sons of man. So it's saying this is something that was gifted to all of us from God. Because it says to be exercised. So it's saying this is for everybody. Everybody is supposed to come into awareness that they have the authority and the will within their own selves, our own self, to seek out and search for the wisdom concerning all things, and it shall be given to you. Chapter 14 says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. Okay, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Okay, so we already read vanity. So now we have to understand what is the definition of vexation. Okay. What does it mean to feel vexation? So that is the state of being annoyed, frustrated, or worried, or causing annoyance, frustration, or worry. Something causing annoyance, frustration, or worry. Okay? So you are vexed about in the spirit. Okay? You are worried, concerned, and annoyed about the spirit. Okay, something in the spirit is causing you to feel that way. So he's basically saying that he's come to the conclusion that it's either vain, okay, where you're coming to a place of feeling like, okay, I don't know if we can hear him in the background. My nephew is in his doing his little thing. Okay. Singing in the background. So again, the excessive belief in one's own abilities or attractiveness to others. The excessive belief of your attractiveness to others or the excessive belief in your own abilities. Okay? Is what vanity means. So, if either you have an excessive belief in your own abilities or your attractiveness to others, or you're feeling concerned or annoyed, frustrated, and worried about something concerning spirit. So these are the conclusions that he came to. These are the conclusions that he came to. That after everything that he's done and seen accomplished is either going to fall up under vanity or vexation of spirit. Okay? And I took from that, this is all about the ego and balancing who you are. Really becoming aware of who you are and what you are and what purpose you serve for being here. Verse 15 says, that which is crooked, this is the verse, okay? That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. So think about that. Think about that. When something is crooked and cannot be made straight, okay? When I read this with Rev, I immediately came into the awareness of this is speaking on the when we're not, everybody is not supposed to, you know, elevate and become their true self this lifetime. Everyone make choices. Okay, we all make certain choices. And so this came into the example of, say, for instance, you are a person who does right. Okay, you put positive energy out into the world. You don't treat people how you don't want to be treated. And you are operating with a person who do not care about other people. It's only about them. That is what came to mind for me when it came to the duality of negative and positive, okay? And how some people are crooked and they cannot be made straight. Their way of thinking, their feelings are negative and always what is going to be done to them, what someone is doing to them. It's never about what they have done to others, okay? And so that is what I took from that first portion of the verse. And the second portion is speaking on those of us that desire and seek the desires, and it's telling us how limitless we are. They're saying that which is wanting, okay, cannot be numbered. And for me, numbered represented limitless, that there is no amount that can be given for a person that wants, for a person that desires to achieve. You're going to go out there and make sure it happens, and it's going to always be afforded to you. In verse 16, it says, I communed with my own heart. And this is why I take that definition from there. Take that as the translation. Or my apologies, interpretation for this last part of verse 15. Because, again, Solomon goes on to say in verse 16, I communed. So that means you have been talking with, you have built a relationship with your own heart. Saying, lo, I am come to great estate. It says, I am come to great estate, saying he has acquired and achieved. I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yeah, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. So he is acknowledging how him taking out the time to explore his heart and build a bond and relationship with his own desires while listening to his intuition, he has acquired great things along with wisdom from experience. But not only wisdom, but knowledge. So much more, so much so that even those before him haven't acquired what he has, because he is following the will of God and he is in alignment with the will of God. This is what I'm taking from this verse. Verse 17 goes on and says, "And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit." So again, this is frustration, annoyed, and worried. Okay? You are feeling this way after giving of your heart to know wisdom and giving of your heart to know madness and folly, duality. Okay? Again, speaking in that angle of physicality and spirit, being righteous and unrighteous, following your first mind and following the world. Okay, this is what this is telling me. So it's saying, I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. So this is also a form of you not being in a place of gratitude. It says, I gave my heart to know wisdom. So you're not happy about the acts that you've taken. This is basically saying, he said, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. Then I chose to be in this place. And at one point, I wasn't looking at this as a gift. So he's speaking from that past perspective of, I didn't look at it as a gift. I was in a place of being worried, concerned, and annoyed, frustrated about God, about spirit. Even though I made that choice, Solomon chose to follow his heart and acquire wisdom, and then to not listen to his heart and be in madness and folly. So he became knowledgeable and aware that, you know what? This is against God. This is not in alignment with who I truly am. So lastly, verse 18 says, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." So again, as I was speaking on verse 17, he came to the conclusion that he was not in a place of gratitude, not in a place of appreciation. He then goes into chapter 2, going further into showing how much so he was not in a place of appreciation and gratitude, even though he had so much to be appreciative of. Okay, and I'm going to stop here for this Bible study. You guys have a great day on purpose, because my nephew has decided to come into the living room and play with his cars. And I know my niece probably waiting to turn on the TV to watch her shows, or she just wanted her TT talk. Which one is this, honey? Watch TV. I knew it. She said, I don't want to disturb her, but I definitely want to watch my shows. So until next time, maybe we'll be going over Ecclesiastes chapter 2, because I did come into awareness of that one. Or maybe we'll be doing another verse, because Proverbs did come to mind when I did see Proverbs, when Ecclesiastes came to mind yesterday. I saw the word Proverbs in my mind's eye, but then I saw Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 15. That was what I saw. And so I said, that's what I need to look up to see what it says and what it means. Also, Proverbs is literally the story that is right before Ecclesiastes in the Bible. So, makes sense why it popped up. It was one of the chapters that popped up. But I am so appreciative, so grateful. We'll have another show another day. Because again, I don't want her waiting too long. I would pull cards and do all that, but this is only about interpretation of the Bible and that journey that I am beginning to go on and sharing it with you guys. And what do you interpret the Bible, and how do you decode the Bible, or specifically Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 15. Also, share your favorite verse. You can be a part of my healing journey.